Welcome back to the deep dive. We've got a fascinating stack of sources you sent in, all about this geographical and historical, well, let's call it an anomaly.
Right, a place that seems to have sort of defied the usual weather patterns for a long time.
Exactly. We're diving into the southeastern U.S. coast today, specifically this area a lot of people talk about.
Ah, the Georgia Bight, that big inward curve of the coast.
That's the one. From Cape Fear down past Savannah toward Cape Canaveral. And the locals there, you know, Bluffton, Savannah, the Golden Isles, they seem pretty convinced this curve protects them.
Yeah, you hear that a lot. Savannah even has that nickname, doesn't it? Dodge City.
Dodge City, right.
Yeah.
Captures that feeling of safety they've had for, what, 40 years now?
But that's where the sources get really interesting. Because when you talk to the experts, meteorologists, historians, geologists, they tell a very different story.
They basically say it's luck.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Luck, statistical chance.
Yeah.
And that this belief in protection, it could lead to some really dangerous complacency.
Okay. So that's our mission today, right? To unpack why this area has been quiet recently and why that very geography they trust, the bite itself, might actually be, well, a huge risk factor. Let's get into it.
Sounds good.
Okay, so starting with the immediate past, this idea of Dodge City, it's been spared direct hits since Hurricane David back in 79. What's the meteorological setup behind that?
Well, it really comes down mostly to the large-scale steering patterns that have generally been in place for, well, over a century now.
Okay.
The biggest player is this massive high-pressure system, the Bermuda High. You've probably heard of it.
Right. Sits out in the Atlantic during the summer hurricane season.
Exactly. And it typically rotates clockwise. So think of it like a giant wheel. Its circulation tends to grab hurricanes moving north from the tropics.
And sort of fling them northeast.
Precisely. It encourages them to recurve offshore, away from the coast, before they can really make a direct perpendicular hit on Georgia or even South Carolina sometimes.
Okay, that makes sense. A big atmospheric barrier almost.
In a way, yes. The angle of the Georgia coastline itself also plays a part. It curves inward, angled northwest.
So a storm moving north is more likely to just glance off it.
Or make landfall further up the coast, yeah. Less likely to hit it head on compared to, say, Florida or the Outer Banks.
But you mentioned earlier that experts aren't buying this as permanent protection. Why the caution if this Bermuda High has been so reliable?
Because atmospheric patterns aren't fixed. Dr. Marshall Shepard at UGA, his work points this out clearly. He acknowledges the circulation has helped, but, and this is the key part, he stresses it's not a permanent shield.
So the position or strength of the Bermuda High could change.
Absolutely. These systems shift, they weaken, they strengthen. Just because it's behaved one way for 50 or 100 years doesn't mean it will next year or the year after. It's dynamic.
And there's another factor too, right? Just simple odds.
Yeah, scale and probability. Georgia's coastline is actually pretty short, only about 100 miles long.
Compared to Florida or the Carolinas, it's tiny.
Exactly. So climatologists emphasize that part of this dead zone phenomenon is just statistical chance. It's a smaller target. And the prevailing steering currents have happened to guide storms away from it consistently, recently.
Recently being the key word there, because if we zoom out, look at the bigger picture, this whole dead zone idea is, well, it's pretty new, historically speaking.
Oh, completely. The geological evidence, the stuff preserved in coastal sediments, shows major hurricanes hitting that coast again and again over thousands of years.
So this quiet spell since maybe the early 1900s, it's the exception, not the rule.
Absolutely. You really only need to look back to the 19th century to see how wrong the Dodge City myth is in the long run. That era was brutal for the Georgia coast.
And the sources really highlight the water damage in those older storms, don't they? Not just wind, but devastating floods.
That's the defining feature, especially with the Sea Islands hurricane back in 1893.
Okay, tell us about that one.
It was a Category 3, made landfall just south of Savannah, winds around 115 mile per hour. Bad enough,
yeah.
Right?
Oh.
But the storm tide, the surge, it reached about 16 feet.
16.
16 feet. That's almost unimaginable. What did that do?
It was catastrophic. It essentially wiped out entire communities on the low-lying sea islands, like Hilton Head. The sources estimate between 1 and 2,000 people lost their lives. One of the deadliest U.S. hurricanes ever.
And mostly due to the water.
Overwhelmingly. These were communities often on marshy land, rice plantations. Very vulnerable to that kind of inundation.
And that wasn't even the only one around that time.
No, just 5 years later, 1898, you get the Cumberland Island hurricane. That was a Cat 4.
Stronger still.
Yep. And the storm tide was even higher, maybe close to 20 feet in some places. Killed another 179 people.
Wow.
And the National Weather Service records show others, too. There was one in 1881, killed around 700 people. So this idea that the Georgia Bight offers some kind of inherent protection, the 19th century just completely demolishes that. Major hits were the norm.
So after that terrible period, things go quiet for a long time until
Hurricane David in 1979. That's the last direct hit. What happened with David?
It came ashore near Blackbeard Island, south of Savannah, as a Category 2. So not quite the monster storms of the 1890s, but still significant.
Did it cause much damage?
The eye crossed the coast, yeah. Sustained winds hit nearly 60 miles per hour, gusts over 70 on Hilton Head, caused widespread power outages. Some lasted for weeks. It was a real wake-up call, or should have been.
A reminder that, yeah, it can happen here.
Exactly. David showed that the Dodge City idea rests on a pretty thin layer of recent luck, not some permanent shield.
Okay, this is where it gets really interesting and kind of counterintuitive. You mentioned earlier that the very geography people trust, that curve, the bite, might actually make things worse.
That's the alarming conclusion from coastal geologists and the folks who model storm surge. The concave shape isn't a shield, it's an amplifier.
How does that work? Amplifying what?
Amplifying the water.
Yeah.
Storm surge, specifically.
Yeah.
You've got two key things happening with the Georgia Bight. First, that inward concave curve. Second, the continental shelf off the coast of Georgia and South Carolina is unusually wide and very shallow.
Okay, wide and shallow shelf, curved coastline. Why is that combination bad?
Think of it like this. When a hurricane pushes a wall of water towards the coast, that wide, shallow shelf acts like hitting the brakes on the bottom of the water column.
It slows the water down.
Dramatically. But the water behind it keeps coming.
Yeah.
And because the coast curves inward, the water gets funneled and trapped. It can't easily escape sideways.
So it's nowhere to go but up.
Exactly. It piles up. The water stacks higher and higher as it approaches the shore. The shape essentially concentrates the surge.
So the very feature that looks protective on a map actually funnels water into the coast, making the flood potential much higher.
Precisely. It means even a storm that isn't exceptionally strong, or even one that doesn't make a direct landfall, can generate a really significant, dangerous storm surge.
And we have proof of this effect recently, don't we? Without needing a direct hit like David or those 19th century storms.
Yes, absolutely. The near misses with Matthew and Irma are perfect examples.
Let's talk about Hurricane Matthew in 2016. That one stayed offshore, right?
It did. The eye was about 20 miles off the coast. Didn't make landfall there.
But the surge
was record-breaking. At Fort Pulaski, near Savannah, the tide gauge hit 12.56 feet. That's the highest water level ever recorded there.
Higher than David. Higher than storms that made landfall nearby.
Higher than anything reliably measured before, yes. And it caused massive flooding all over Hilton Head, Beaufort County, just from a storm passing offshore.
That really demonstrates the Bight's amplification effect. The steering currents kept the worst winds away, but the water threat remained because of the geology.
It proves the point perfectly. The shape of the seafloor and the coastline dictated the water level, regardless of the exact track of the eye.
And then just a year later, Irma.
Tropical Storm Irma, yes, in 2017. By the time it got near Georgia, it had weakened quite a bit from its peak intensity. It wasn't even a hurricane at that point.
But still caused problems.
Big problems, because it arrived right around high tide. The water level at Fort Pulaski hit 12.24 feet.
Almost as high as Matthew's record surge.
Exactly. The second highest on record. And that was enough to flood downtown Savannah. River Street was underwater.
So two storms in 2 years, neither a direct hurricane landfall, both causing near record or record flooding because of storm surge amplified by the Bight.
It's stark evidence. The Dodge City luck applies maybe to the wind center missing. It absolutely does not apply to the risk from water. The Bight makes that risk worse.
This really shifts the perspective, doesn't it? So what's the big takeaway then? What should people living in Bluffton, Savannah, the Golden Isles, what should they understand from all this?
I think there are a few key things. First, and maybe most importantly, the quiet stretch. That 40 plus years without a direct hit, it's been luck. Statistical chance driven by favorable steering patterns. It's not permanent protection.
And those steering patterns could change.
They absolutely could. And that's the second point. The factors that help steer storms away, like the Bermuda High's typical position, aren't guaranteed to stay that way. Climate change, warmer oceans, these things are likely shifting atmospheric patterns already.
Which brings us to the third point, the Bight itself.
Right. The core misconception is thinking that inward curve is somehow protective. All the science, the geology, the recent examples like Matthew and Irma, they show the opposite.
It amplifies the surge.
It significantly amplifies the storm surge risk, making the area extremely vulnerable to flooding, even from storms that don't score a direct hit. The danger from water is immense because of the bright shape, not despite it.
So the sources, like that Savannah Now article you mentioned, they're warning that future risk might actually be increasing.
Yes. Warmer oceans fuel stronger storms, potentially. But the bigger worry for this specific region is a shift in those steering patterns.
If the Bermuda High shifts or weakens,
then the path hurricanes take could change. Instead of recurving out to sea, they could be steered more directly towards that relatively short Georgia coastline. The luck runs out very quickly if the steering changes even slightly.
So the message is, no permanent geographic advantage exists here.
None at all. Believing in one is the dangerous complacency the experts warn about.
So for residents, what's the practical advice?
It's pretty straightforward, really.
Yeah.
First, shed that feeling of immunity. View the long lull for what it is, a statistical anomaly, a run of good luck that won't last forever.
And prepare for the water.
Absolutely. Focus on the water risk. Understand that even a near miss can bring devastating flooding because of the bite's amplification effect. Have robust evacuation plans, know your zones, and heed warnings. Don't anchor your safety plans to the Dodge City myth.
Okay, so wrapping this up, that nickname, Dodge City, it captures a real phenomenon, right? 45 years of relative quiet.
It does capture that recent reality, yes. A reality shaped by those favorable steering winds we talked about.
But it's a reality that completely masks the deeper history. Centuries of major hurricane strikes.
And crucially, it masks the dangerous physics of the coastline itself. That concave shape and shallow shelf aren't protection. They're a recipe for potentially catastrophic storm surge.
So when you put it all together, the long history of hits, the known science of surge amplification in the bight, and the potential for climate change to alter the very steering currents that provided this recent lull,
you have to ask yourself, how long can the luck hold out? The historical pattern is major strikes. The geology enhances the danger. It seems less a question of if the luck runs out and more a question of when.
When does statistical chance finally regress to the mean, leading to what you called a catastrophic historical correction?
Exactly. And that leads to a final thought for you, the listener. Think about your own area. What assumptions do you make about your safety, maybe based on recent history or local lore?
Could there be a deeper history or an underlying geographical factor that tells a different, perhaps more cautionary story? It's definitely something worth digging into.